God sure is good this morning.
Amen.
Really all the time, but it's just a little bit special today. Amen. Psalms chapter number 11. Psalms 11. I said 14? 11. Run if you want to. All of it's good. Amen. Cut it anywhere you want to. It works on it. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. Psalms number 11, verse 3. Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Look in Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to start with a G. Just a little bit distance apart there. Genesis, the beginning, chapter 3, verse 21. Adam and Eve have disobeyed God by this time, took of the forbidden fruit. God has come to them in their time of sin to find them, to fellowship with them. When God come to them, they were not in the place that they should be. They began to accuse one another. God said in verse 21, and then to Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothing? God didn't have to do that. Them or us, sure they're not worthy of it. But God did. Brother James Mark, would you pray for us? We'd like to make it clear once again, if God ever speaks to your heart in any service, you're not going to bother me. If you did bother me, I need to get right with the Lord. We started several weeks ago dealing with the subject of the foundational principles or foundational truths found in the book of Genesis. We started out saying that within these first three chapters of the Bible, God has set some foundational principles that the devil hates. He said in Psalms 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the devil is pulling all stunts to destroy the foundational principles that God has laid out within this Bible and raise up a generation that does not know God, to ultimately help usher in the Antichrist, his church, with his people and his motives for this whole world. We said, first of all, the Bible set the principle very early in the first page of our Bible, the first verse in our Bible, the first book in our Bible, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God is the Creator God. As God is being Creator, God is in charge. Nobody else is in charge. I'm not in charge. The president's not in charge. The rulers are not in charge. God is the Creator that puts God in charge. He formed the thing. He made it. So everything's going to give an account to God. Creator God. He's in charge. Number two, we saw that in the foundational principle that God laid out in the Bible, that God was not only the Creator, but God was the commander. God commanded a man and a woman in the garden what they should do. As God is Creator, He's in charge, but as God as commander, He calls the shots. Let God be true, and every man a liar. God calls the shots. You don't call the shots. I don't call the shots. God calls the shots. He's the commander. Not only is He the Creator that's in charge, He's the commander that calls the shots. We saw that He was a communing God. After they had sinned, God came to commune with them. As a communing God, He is the comforter. Amen. Thank God, God brings comfort. Amen. Hey, the world might throw us away. The world might not want anything to do with us, but thank God He wants something to do with us. And God comforts His people even when they fail Him. Amen. He's a comforting God. We saw last week that He's a condemning God. As the Creator, He's in charge. As the commander, He calls the shots. As the communing God, He comforts. But as the condemning God, we see that there are consequences for our failures. But today I want to look at the light side of God that is maybe much abused in the world, but is still a Bible truth. And because the world abuses it and misplays what God is on this aspect of His life, is still a foundational principle of God, is that God is compassionate. A compassionate God. In our text in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 21, we see that as a compassionate God, He covers. Amen. He covers. The Bible said, unto Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. God covered them. God is a compassionate God. When God could have threw Adam and Eve away and made a new man and woman. God could have scratched the thing and said, I believe I'll just start all over. Instead, God made a way for this man and woman to still serve God. To still walk with God. To still worship their Creator. To still commune with Him. I say today, what a loving Savior we have. Thank God, God loves us. Amen. Look with me in 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. God is love, and God manifested His love toward us. Just as He did the Adam and Eve, God has manifested His love toward us. And in God's manifested love, something had to die. There's got to be a death. 1 John chapter number 4, right before the book of Jude and Revelation. You'll find 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. We see that God took a coat of skins and He clothed the man and the woman. If He clothed them in skin, whatever was wearing the skin had to die. And if something had to die that had skin, blood had to be shed. God manifested His love through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God, God manifested His love on Calvary for our sins. Amen. He's a compassionate God. Amen. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. The world didn't deserve it. Adam and Eve didn't deserve it. But thank God He died for us. Amen. You think you deserve the love of God, you need to get your heart right with God. We don't deserve it, amen. 1 John chapter 4, look in verses number 7. The Bible says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. You know who I love? Myself. You know who you love? Let me have you. You love yourself. We loved our sin, but thank God He loved us. Amen. I didn't deserve the love of God, but thank God He loved me in Jesus. Amen. It was manifest through His Son. Amen. He said His only begotten Son. Herein is love, verse 10. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain for a sacrifice. Isaac looked at his father and he said, "Here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice?" Abraham looked back at his son and said, "God will provide Himself a lamb. God will provide Himself a lamb." That was prophetic about what He would do, and thank God He did. And first in John chapter number 1, St. John, hey, John the Baptist, how they're baptized, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." God provided Himself a lamb. He made Himself a sacrifice. Thank God He was manifest to take away sin. Amen. We ought to be thankful that God is a compassionate God.
Yep.
When God should have never looked my way, God looked my way. When the world had turned their back on me, God looked my way. When nobody thought I'd ever make nothing, God made something out of me. Thank God the love of God that was shed. Thank God we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. He said in verses number 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." Look in 1 John chapter 3, look in verse number 14. He says this, "We know that we have passed from death unto life." You know that? You know you passed from death unto life? You know you're not going to die and go to hell? Do you know that? He said, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love" what? "The brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no man have eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for what? The brethren. Thank God He laid His life down for us. Verse 17. "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, but neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Amen. Hey, let it be manifest and far past your lips. Amen. Let it be in deed and in truth. We are to love the brethren because God loved us. Amen.
Amen.
God manifested His love toward His children. Amen. He clothed them in skins. Something had to die. But thank God someone came to die. It wasn't just a something that died when Jesus died. It was a something that died to clothe Adam and Eve. But someone died to clothe us. It was the Lamb of God. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Amen. There's no forgiveness. God is a compassionate God. If you're here, you're lost without God. God loves you in Jesus. For God so loved the world.
Yep.
He loved, L-O-V-E-D, past tense. He loved you in Calvary. Yeah. He loved you enough to die for you. Yeah. And just as God is a God of love, I know in Hebrews says He's a God of wrath. Amen. And it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. But God loved you in Jesus. Don't you reject the love of God. Don't you turn away God's sacrifice for your sin. Let Him clothe you in the righteousness of God. Let Him make you a child of God. Let Him make you free. Let Him save your soul. God is compassionate to you, amen. God wasn't compassionate to us, we'd all be in hell.
Amen.
God is a compassionate God. It is a foundational principle that the devil is marred. He is twisted and made it look like, well, God's just a mushy God that won't let anybody go to hell or won't send anybody to hell. You reject the love of God, the love that was shed in Calvary. God has nothing else to do but to give you hell. Oh, you didn't want His Son. You didn't want His compassion. But I don't want to dwell on the wrath side of God today. I want to dwell on the compassionate side of God. God loves you today and wants you to be saved. Amen.
God
is a compassionate God. Can I say, number one, He has compassion on the harvest. He has compassion on the harvest. Look in Matthew chapter number 9. God has compassion on the harvest. What do you mean, preacher? If God has compassion on the harvest, can I say this morning that we ought to have compassion on the harvest? Amen. You'll see where I'm at in just a minute. Matthew chapter 9, look in verse number 35. Hey, if God loved us, we ought to love our brethren. Amen. You can't love your, if you can't love God whom you, your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? Hey, we ought to love the children of God, but you know what? We ought to love the lost. We ought to love the lost. I'll make it very clear, God loved the lost in Calvary. And God has the right to hate the lost because they don't want Calvary, but God is righteous in His hate and love. Amen. Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to love them to Jesus. We need to show compassion on the lost. Amen. We need to love the harvest out there. We need to lift up our eyes and see that the harvest out there is ready to be ripe. There's people out there that don't know God. Amen. That need God just like me and you did. Hey, God had compassion on the harvest. Amen. How do you know He did? Look at Matthew 9, verse 35. God has compassion on the harvest. He said in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What did He do? He went forth healing. He went forth preaching. He went forth sending the gospel of the kingdom. He went out touching those that were diseased, every sickness. Amen. God wanted all to be touched. Amen. In verse number 36, He says this. When He saw the multitudes, He saw them. When's the last time you saw the multitudes? When's the last time you lifted up your eyes and saw the harvest field? When's the last time you saw that drunk out there, he needed Jesus? When's the last time you saw that dope head, he needed Jesus? When's the last time you looked in his eyes and saw the lostness of his soul and seen that he needed some kind of satisfaction that that world he was dipping in couldn't give him? When's the last time you looked at that one out there walking up down the street with no ride and no money and down and out? Who's the preacher? Well, they getting what they deserve. Amen. Hey, you know what? We should have got what we deserve. Amen. I'm talking about compassion on the harvest field out there. I'm talking about caring about people that need God. Amen. Hey, you better be careful. Don't get callous over this old world. He says in Lamentations chapter number 3 and verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because His compassion faileth not. It's the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. It's the Lord's mercy that we're not going to hell. It's the Lord's mercy that God ain't turned His back on us. Where's our compassion for the world? Amen. You know what happens? We allow this world to callous us, to harden us. We see how many deadbeats they are. We see how many, there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of sorry people out there. But you know what? We were deadbeats and we were sorry before God. You know what we've allowed the world to do? We've allowed the world to callous us, the people that need God. God help our souls. Amen. Hey, we went to the fellowship Friday night and God have mercy on my soul. We went up there and we were running low on gas and we had to get some gas. We put up in a pump and we pulled up there to get gas and I made eye contact with this woman sitting over there. And I could see her standing over there, Brother Brooks. I saw her with my eyes. My eyes made contact with her eyes. And she looked at me. And then a little bit longer, I see her beside the door. And she's tapping on the window. And I looked at her and I knew what she was doing. She's looking for some fix. She was looking for some money, easy lifestyle. She was looking for something to do something wrong. And she said, I'm up at the door. She said, can you give me $12? They're going to run me out of my motel room. And I said, I can't give you $12. She said, well, I'm not going to have nowhere to stay. She said, well, can you carry me down to Walmart? No, we can't carry you down to Walmart. We're heading to church. Amen. We don't have time for you. We don't have time to help you out. I know what you're doing. You know what happened? I've seen so much deadbeats like that. It's got me callous to people like that. And you know what I did? I never told her about Jesus. I never gave her a gospel tract. I never tried to tell her how to be saved. We went down to service and God smote my heart. I'll never see her again unless God's mercy lets me cross paths with her. I'm telling you, we need to look at the field. And when you look at them, they need Jesus. They don't need a handout, but they need Jesus. But don't let them get you callous. Let them tell them about God. Tell them how to be saved. We were once just like them, amen. Amen. Without God in this whole world. God have mercy on us. And we allow the world to callous us because they're sorry. Because they're deadbeats. You know what? It wasn't for the grace of God. God, it wasn't for God's mercy. We'd all be consumed. People need God, man. What are they doing wrong? Preaching, they're doing it the wrong way. We were too. Yep. You know what? I didn't have to pay for a motel room. Probably gave her money, she probably would have went and bought something to get a fix. You know, I knew that. But you know what's sorry? I never even mentioned the name of Jesus. I could have told her about Jesus. And so you know what we did? We sat in the car and said, look at that woman over. Look, I saw you. We know what she wants. Oh, she's wanting a fix. Why she wants some money? She's got a pack of cigarettes. They cost $5. She's got a drink in her hand. Oh, she's wearing a dress, got some nice clothes on. Why did she go take that money and go do something? Yeah, all that stuff's right and all that stuff she could have did. But you know what? We could have still told her about Jesus. Somebody could have still gave her a gospel tract. We could have still lifted up our eyes and saw the harvest the way God sees the harvest. God saw her as a lost woman on the way to hell. We saw her as a woman wanting to fix. God, give us eyes like Jesus. Amen. He sat down with the publicans and sinners and he told them about the love of God. He told them about salvation. God, give us mercy for the harvest. Amen. Our compassion for the harvest. Have we allowed this world that is a bunch of dead meat to callous us from telling people about Jesus? Yep. Don't lose your desire to tell. The Bible said in verse 36, here's what Jesus said. He said, but when he saw the multitudes, he saw them. The Bible said he was moved with compassion on them. What kind of multitudes did he see? I'm going to tell you what he saw. He saw the same kind of people we see every day. He saw the same deadbeat people we see every day. He saw the drunks that we see. He saw the bunch of hellions that we see. He saw the bunch of sodomites that we see. Amen. He saw the bunch of backbiters we see. He saw those that we see that won't go to church on Sunday. They'll be out there and cut their grass. He saw the same crowd we saw. But you know what he had on them? He had compassion on them. Amen. Don't you get so calloused in your heart that you don't have the love of God in you to tell somebody about Jesus. Don't let them callous you so much that you can't give them a gospel tract. You can't tell them how to be saved. And that God by His grace might pull them out of that snare of the devil. And He brought us out of them. Amen. What if somebody never told you about Jesus? What if somebody never had compassion on you? God is a compassionate God. He should have killed Adam and Eve. But instead he killed an animal. Instead he shed blood. Instead he covered them. He bluntly disobeyed God's commands. God still killed something else instead of them. What should he have done to me and you? You know what the problem is? We've been saved a year. We've been saved 5 years. We've been saved 10 years. We don't do those things anymore. We've been saved 20 years, 40 years, 50 years. I don't live that life. I mean, what in the world's wrong with them? You know what's wrong with them? The same thing that was wrong with us. Amen. That's what's wrong with them. They need Jesus, man. I'm not telling you to give everybody a dollar, but you can at least tell them about Jesus. Amen. You know, I didn't have to give that woman $12 to get a room, but I could have given her a gospel tract. I could have took time to tell her how to be born again. I could have gave her the good news that somebody delivered to me. God have mercy on her, amen. God have mercy on us. Hey, we gave the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. Thank God He got mercy on us, amen. Amen. Thank God He cares about us. He lifted up His eyes and He saw the multitude. Look at verse 36 again. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they were faint. And they were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. The world's scattered today. The world's running to and fro. They're looking for something they cannot find. They're looking for something, they're looking for that void to be filled within their heart that only God can fill. Jesus was moved with compassion, and because he was moved with compassion, he said in verse 37, then said he unto his disciples. He said unto them, listen, boys, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. There's a lot of harvest out there, but we ain't got many workers. We'd admit the world's in a bad shape, ain't it? The world's full of sin, ain't it? It's like the old saying is, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Everybody's turning against God. Nobody wants God. Nobody wants to hear the Bible. Nobody wants to go to church. But you know what? They need God. They're scattered. They're faint. Amen. They're running to and fro and needing God in their life. And God said, look up, lift up your eyes, boys. That's what He told them over there in John 4. And look out in the harvest field. Amen. Hey, go get a burden for the Lord. Go tell somebody about Jesus. God had compassion on the harvest. Amen. Where's our compassion for the harvest? When's the last time we even mentioned Jesus to a sinner? When's the last time we ever went out of our way to go get somebody and bring them down to the house of God that might be under the gospel preacher under today? But we ain't got time for that because we got to fix her hair and put her makeup on. We got to get a little bit of extra sleep because we'll come in, we'll be tired. Let somebody else go get them, or maybe we'll get them next time. When's the last time you put forth any effort in getting anybody? When's the last time you had compassion on somebody? You know what we'll say? Well, let the church man get them. Church van don't mind getting them. Richie don't mind going and picking them up. But you know what? The truth and knowledge is, some people won't ride a church van. And you know that. But they would ride with you. Why ain't we got compassion to go get anybody? What if you knocked on that door, that neighbor beside you, and said, "Hey, Harry, let me take you to church with me Sunday." Instead of cussing them out. Instead of running them down because of the way they blasted the music up beside your house, raising hell over there, raising Cain like they said. Just like you used to do. But we've lost our compassion. We've allowed the world to harden us. Amen. Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Amen. God didn't ever let the world harden him, man. Everything that was thrown at him, all the ridicule that was thrown at him, everybody that hated him, amen, all that despised him and eventually crucified him, he lifted up his eyes and had compassion on the harvest. Give us a compassion for the harvest. Amen. The labors are few. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth labors into his harvest. God had compassion on the harvest. Number two, God had compassion on the hungry. Look in Matthew 15. He's a compassionate God. Where's our compassion today? Where's our love towards the sinner today? Who would take out time to pray for someone that's lost? Who would take out time to go reach somebody that needs God? Don't allow this world to harden you. Don't allow circumstances to harden you from the harvest field. Don't allow the way people do you to quit loving them the way God told you to love them. Amen. Don't allow it to happen, man. It'll happen. It happens easily. And we get a one-track mind and we get to living in this whole world and we forget what God's got compassion on. God had compassion on the harvest. God had compassion on the hungry. Matthew chapter 15, look at verse 32. The Bible says this. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. He called his disciples together and said, hey boys, I got compassion on the multitude. What's your problem, Lord? Why are you burdened about it? Why you got compassion on them? He said this. He says, because they have continued with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting unless they faint in the way. He said, they've been with me 3 days and ain't a thing. They were so much in tune with everything I had to say and everything I was doing that they didn't even take time to eat nothing that was of this world. They had that mindset that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the Bible said that when Jesus saw them, he had compassion on them. He was compassionate on the hungry. Why would he have compassion on them? Because if they kept going in that way and we didn't do something for them, they'd faint along the way. They wouldn't make it any further than they're going to make it. When's the last time you had any compassion on somebody that's trying to serve God and they needed a little outreach and a little extra hand to keep them going so they don't fall out in the way? When's the last time we cared about somebody more than just getting saved but serving God after they get saved? Well, be glad they ain't going to hell now. Thank God for that. But don't worry about discipling them and trying to get them to God. Don't worry about trying to get them to be an example to this whole world. You know what the devil knows? Once somebody gets saved, they can't go to hell. The devil knows they can't go to hell. But you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to keep them from being a witness and getting somebody else from going to hell. So he changed tactics. Instead of going to send them to hell, he tries to ruin their testimony and rot their life. Amen. Jesus said, I'm weary of them. I got compassion on them. I don't want them to leave me and fall and faint in the way. Give us a compassion on the hungry out there. Amen.
Amen.
People are hungry. People need God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 25, the righteous eateth to the satisfying of the soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. You know, not only is that a type here of those out there that's trying to serve God and go a little further, but there's a type of those that have been around the Lord that never got saved. There's some people that never found that satisfaction of the soul. The belly of the wicked still won't. They're still hungry. You know why the world does what they do? Because they're hungry. They're hungry. You know why you did what you did? Because you was hungry. And I'm not talking about for a sandwich or a Snicker. I'm talking about you were hungry in your soul for sin. You are hungry in your flesh for more desires of this whole world. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of the soul. The belly of the wicked shall want. For 21 years of my life, I lived in want. And what did I want? Anything that would satisfy my soul. Anything that would give me comfort. Anything that would satisfy me. It was until the righteousness of God filled my soul and satisfied the longing of my heart that God gave me a reason to live. There's a hungry world out there seeking God, but they're seeking Him in the bottom of a bottle. They're seeking Him in the bottom of a bag. They're seeking Him in the bottom of a hellish lifestyle, or some sodomy, or some adultery, or some fornication, or some lies, or some religion. They're seeking happiness, but they'll only be found in God. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus had compassion on the hungry. He said, these people are going to faint, man. They're starving. When's the last time you looked at the world? When's the last time you looked at an old sinner out there digging down in this old world, digging down in the gutters of this world, amen, like an old bum in a dumpster, amen, trying to get something to feed their body, and the world's out there dipping in the dumpsters of this world, and they're trying to find satisfaction, and they'll never find it until they find Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, how are they going to find Jesus? There's none that seeketh after God. That's where we come involved.
Yep.
That's where we get compassion on those that are hungry. Remember what He told the woman at the well? Remember when she came up to Jesus? And Jesus said, hey, lady, why are you dipping down in here? Well, I come here all the time to get me something to drink. And He told her, I got water that you know not of. Same thing He told His disciples down at the end of that thing. He said, I got meat that you know not of. He said, hey, you get a little drink of my water, you'll never thirst again. You'll never have a thirsting down in your soul for anything anymore. And she said, evermore, give me that drink. Hey, man, you know what the world needs? They need a drink of God.
Amen.
They need a drink of God's Spirit. They need a drink of salvation, amen. We need to take to the hungry the gospel. Jesus had compassion on the harvest. He had compassion on the hungry. God, give us a compassion for the hungry. The woman said unto Him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And she said, I don't want to come back here dipping anymore. I'm tired of dipping down deep. When you don't get tired of dipping down in this whole world and dipping down for satisfaction, ain't nothing going to give you satisfaction but Jesus, amen.
Amen.
I'm talking to some of you out there lost without God, and you've been dropping your bucket down in this old world, and you're trying to find satisfaction in this, and you're trying it over here in that, and you're trying it over here in this well. Hey, but one well gonna get a satisfaction. Hey, but one well gonna satisfy your soul. It is the well of God. It's the drink from another fountain. Hey, come to Jesus and be saved. Jesus had compassion on the hungry. Do we? The Bible said, He said in verse number 33, and His disciples saying to Him, from whence have we so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? You see their limitation on what they thought God could do? You gonna feed this big multitude, God? 4,000 gathered around here. Pretty big crowd. Where are we gonna get this kind of bread in the wilderness? Do you not realize where we're at? In a wilderness. How many times have we lost our faith in God? We look around and say, God, how are we going to get anybody to God? Have you looked around and saw how bad the shape the world's in? Have you not looked around at this wilderness we're living in? People not knocking down the doors to come to God. God never asked the world to knock down the doors to come to God. God asked us to knock down the doors to get Him to Him. You know what Jesus did to the woman at the well? He went to where she was. He sat on her well, amen. He went to where she was going to be, amen. Hey, when's the last time you went to where they're at? When's the last time we were hungry for somebody to come to Jesus? Amen. He said, hey, where are we going to get it? Our limitation, our lack of faith. He said in verse number 34, and Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7 and a few fishes. He said, how much you got? Amen. What you got? Well, we got a few gospel tracts. We got a message about a man that came and died for their sins. You know, we got a King James Bible full of all the promises of God. But you know what we look at it as? Just about 7 loaves and a few fishes.
Amen.
We just got a little bit. We just got the God of all glory. We got, you know, all we got is the message that'll save the world, you know. That's all we got. We ain't got much, though. That's the way we look at it, amen. Hey, this world is hungry. This world's looking for God. And He commanded the multitude to sit on the ground. And He took the 7 loaves and a few fishes and gave thanks and break. And gave to His disciples and His disciples to the multitude. Hey, God gave it to them to give to them. And God's giving to us to give to others, amen. Are we taking it out of the hand of God and taking it to the world, amen? God had compassion on the hungry. Where's ours? Oh, let them go to hell, preacher. Let them go to hell. We got ours. What if he'd have let you go to hell? God had compassion on the harvest. He had compassion on the hungry. He took it and filled them all. And this passage showing us that there's nothing God can't fill. You know what? A lot of times we have a lack of faith that ain't nobody God can't save. We quit telling them because we think they're never going to come. We quit praying because they're never going to get saved. They're never going to do right. You know what we need to do? We need to stay hungry. Hungry. Caught crawling and scratching and climbing and doing all we can to try to get them to God. He was hungry for the multitude. You know what Jesus did in Matthew 18? Look at this. When it comes to compassion, not only was God compassionate on the harvest, He was compassionate on the hungry, but let me give you a little commercial for a minute. Nobody watches a movie without a commercial, you know? Got a little pause in the message for a minute. They call it running a rabbit in a message. God had compassion on the harvest. He had compassion on the hungry. But you know what He did in Matthew 18? He rebuked people for not having compassion. Matthew 18 and verse 23, the Bible says this. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. How much you owe God when you were lost? How much did you owe him? How bad a shape were you in when he came? To you. Can you go back to that time? Listen to this. He owed him 10,000 talents. The Bible says, but for as much as he had not paid, we didn't pay it. I never tried to pay. And was sinning every day, the songwriter said, and never tried to pay. Look what he says this. Look what he says. And his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. God's got right for payment to be made. He said, you know what? They owe me a lot. Go sell his wife, his children, and him. Get rid of all of them. Give me my money. They wasted my breath that I put in their lungs. Look at this. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with what? Compassion. And loosed him and forgave him the debt. Thank God, amen. That's a type of our salvation, brother. I owe God so much I couldn't pay him back. God should have killed me, amen, and put me in hell. But he had compassion on my soul, amen. He forgave me all my debt.
Yeah, amen. Thank you.
You know what the boy did though? Look at this. But the same servant, verse 28, went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Not even as much as he owed his God. Amen. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Just show me a little patience. Same thing he cried out to his God. And God had patience on him. He said, listen, he said, and he said in verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw that was what was done, they were very sorry and came and told it unto their Lord what all that was done. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, but thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also to have compassion on thy fellow servant, and even as I have pity on thee. You forgot how good I've been to you. You forgot how good. You forgot I sent somebody out there to give. Look out on your field and bring you the gospel. You forgot your wife was hungry, but I fed you. I forgave you all yours. Verse 34, and the Lord was wroth, delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall the Heavenly Father also do to you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You know what God does in this passage? He rebukes those for not having compassion. But God was compassionate on the hungry. He had compassion on the harvest. God has compassion on the humble. Psalms 86:15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. And gracious, long-suffering, and patient, and plenteous in mercy and truth. He's a God of compassion. He's compassionate to the humble. You know the only thing keeping you from receiving the forgiveness of God is humility? Pride to send a man to hell. Well, preacher, it's not being saved is what's going to send him to hell. Yeah, but pride could be that fruit that keeps him from coming to God. God honors humility. You know what my Bible shows me? Let me show you some passages real quick. Can you turn real quick? Let me look in Matthew 20. We won't read the whole context. I'll just give you one verse out of each one. God had compassion on the blind. You once was blind. I once was blind, but now I see. Matthew 20, look in verse number 31. The Bible says this, and the multitudes rebuked him because they told them to hold their peace. You remember these boys cried out, said, Lord, have mercy on us. God, show us some mercy, amen. Hey, that's a little bit of humility right there. They cried in front of the whole crowd. That's a little bit of getting rid of your pride right there. These two boys over there, and God was passing them out. Lord, have mercy on us. Everybody said, hey, shut up, boys. Won't y'all hold your peace and keep your mouth shut over there? They didn't worry about what everybody said. They were looking for mercy. They were blind. They wanted to be able to see. Hey, you're blind without God. Amen. The Bible said they cried out. The Bible said this. Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. The Bible said in verse 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. God had compassion on the humble blind man. Look in Mark chapter number 1, the next book here, quick. Mark 1. God not only had compassion on the humble blind man, he had compassion on the humble leper. Mark chapter 1 and verse 41, the Bible says this. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. That humble leper said, Lord, if thou wouldest, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. You know leprosy is a type of sin. God, if you wouldest, you can make me whole. Maybe you're sitting here today and say, God, if you wouldest, you can do for me what you've done for somebody else. God, if you would, have mercy on me. You know what? You cry out like that, God will have compassion on you. Just as he did that leper, he said, I will be thou clean. Amen. Hey, God had compassion on the leper. In Mark chapter number 5, we see that God had compassion on the demon possessed. That man out there in the tombs, often cutting himself, living in torture and misery, amen. Nobody could do anything with him, not only even his family. He was a hellion full of the devil, amen. The Bible said that Jesus showed up on his shore one day. Hey, thank God he showed up on our shore one day. Hey, God, he passed by us one day, amen. Hey, that old humble demon man ran to God and began to worship him. And God cast the devil out of him, amen. Mark chapter 5 and verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go to thy friends and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. You know what he said? Go tell everybody what I've done for you, boy. He said, Lord, I'd like to go with you and follow you the rest of my life. He said, no, how about go home and let your mom and daddy know? How about go let your neighbors know, amen, how compassion I had on you. God had compassion on the blind. He had compassion on the leper. He had compassion on the demon possessed. He had compassion on the dumb son. Mark 9, often put himself in the fire and in the water. How long he been dumb? All his life. Look at Mark chapter number 9, verse 22. God has compassion on those that are humble. The blind man was humble. Men were humble. The leper was humble. The demonic man was humble. The dumb son's father was humble. He brought him to Jesus. The disciples could do nothing with him, but they brought him to Jesus. Listen, we can't save you, but God can. We know a God that can. Amen. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Savior, for he is my dearest friend. Thank God he can do it, amen. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 22, the Bible says this. The Bible said, and oftentimes he cast himself into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything. You talking about desperate, man? His father was desperate for his child. He said, if you can just do anything, just a little bit of relief of being good around here. You ever felt like that, mom and daddy? Hey, God, you just do something, man. A little relief of being thankful down here. Do anything. Have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That's humility for his son. You know what? You might have a little bit of struggles today with believing something I've said to you about what God can do because of the way your life is and how much of a mess is in. But you just come to God and say, God, I believe it. Help my unbelief. God, if you're that God that preacher's talking about, I need a little bit of help down here. I need some mercy down here. My life's in a fix, man. I'm hungry. I'm that harvest out there. I'm that one out there that's full of sin and going my own way. God, have a little bit of mercy on me and save me from hell. Give me some peace that I can lay down tonight. Not having to worry about waking up in the devil's hell. God, have mercy on me. God had compassion on the humble. Humility. He had compassion on the dead. Luke 7, you remember the buyer out there and the boy coming in there with his parents and he was all weeping and crying? Jesus saw that woman out there crying for a child. God had compassion and touched the casket and raised him up. He had compassion. He's a God of compassion. Let me show you an example in closing. Look at Luke 10. Luke 10. Our God's a compassionate God. Where's our compassion? Have we lost it? Have we lost the desire for the lost? Have we lost the hunger for those that need God? Have we lost the hunger for service to God? God has compassion on the humble. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Luke chapter 10 and verses number 30, we know the story of the Good Samaritans here. You talking about humility? Just be honest with yourself and see where you lined up today. Today, right now. Not where you lined up a couple of years ago when you first got saved, when you was like the woman over at the well and said, come see a man that told me all things. Is this like the Christ? You remember those days? You remember the day when you was freshly born again into the family of God, the zeal of God flooded your soul, and nobody would shut you up and crying out to God? That day you were humble enough when that old blind man said, God have mercy on me. We were like that old demonic man going our own way, trying to bind ourselves, trying to let the world bind us. Nobody could do nothing. God had compassion on us. God came by and cast the dumb spirit out of us and raised us from the dead. You remember them those days? Remember when nobody could shut you up from giving out a gospel tract or crying out for somebody's soul that they might come to God? I'm not asking you to think about those days. I'm talking about right now, where are you at? Where are you at the moment when it comes to the harvest? When it comes to the hunger and the humble? Luke 10 and verses number 30, the Bible says this. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. You know what our mindset is today? Where'd he go to Jericho anyhow? Well, if he'd have stayed where he should have been, he wouldn't have gotten the mess he got in. Oh, you're probably right. Yeah, that's pretty good. A lot of truth in that. That would justify you not for caring. Yeah, they done the wrong thing. But where's your compassion at? Have you always done what was right? You ever fell among thieves? You ever went somewhere you ought not to went? Yeah. Oh, but I don't go as often as they do, though. I didn't go as deep as they did. Jesus said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Down there where the half-bearded men are, you know. Y'all that went to service Friday night. What happened to those people down there? They spit him. Wounded him. Departed, leaving him half dead. Bible said in verse 31, and by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed on by the other side. Who is that priest? Well, he's the religious man. He's been reading his Bible every day, you know. Prays three times a week, fasts often. Gives great tithes down to the church. Show up every time the doors is open, you know. But there's an old boy out there left half dead out there on the way to church. There'll be one on the way to work tomorrow. But you good old godly priest are going to be back at church tonight and been serving God so faithfully and quoting memory verses and all that stuff you ought to do. Have in the midst of all your activities and work for God, you forgot about those that don't know God. The certain priest, he went by and he saw it. The Bible said he passed by on the other side. I don't want to get a smell on me. I don't want somebody to think that I'm agreeing with what he's doing. He shouldn't have went down there anyhow. It's his own fault. He loved God. He's getting what he deserves. The Bible says in verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came, looked on him, and passed by on the other side. Well, preacher, I don't ignore him. I don't just go on by the other side. You know, I go over there and look at him. I get a little closer. I do more than some do. Oh, that makes it okay, don't it? Justifying among yourselves, that's real wise, ain't it? No, it's not wise. Comparing yourselves among yourselves. You remember the day you were that one down at Jericho? You remember when you fell among the thieves and stripped and all your raiment and wounded, people left you half dead? Remember when you didn't have nothing? Remember those days you tossed and turned on your bed? But nobody knew what was going on but you did. Oh, at the job you had a good time and you laughed, and at the parties you joked and cut up, but down in your soul something was wrong. You know, they might be smiling on the job, but down in their soul they probably got the same problem you had back then when you were left in Jericho half dead. You know, when we realize that they had that same problem when we had, is when they don't come back to work no more and somebody finds out they blew their brains out. And I thought they was just so happy, didn't I? I didn't think they was in that bad of shape. Oh yeah, there's a lot of them in that bad of shape. Oh, but we look at them now to classify them, were they in that group? They the dope heads, they the druggies, and they the drunks, and they the sodomites, and you know what they are? They're people that need Jesus. Yeah, it ain't, I'm not here to justify any of that stuff. And you want to go that way, help yourself. I'm talking about how loving my God is today. He cares. This guy, you know what he did? He went over there and looked at him. Laid his eyes on him. Might even gave him a dollar. You know? Hey, man, get you something to eat, man. You look bad. Might even have a conversation with him. But never told him about how to get out of his mess. You ever had conversations with people out there in a mess like that, but we never tell them about Jesus? Kind of like last Friday, that woman I did. Oh, that's real Levitical of you with your tie on. You look real good going to church, son. That woman needed me, though. But I had to pass to the other side. But I didn't look at her. I even made a few jokes about her, you know, with everybody else. The Bible said in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed. This man wasn't like the others by chance happened to go by and see such a thing. They realized their life was about a journey. The Samaritan realized his life had purpose. He realized he wasn't here just to bounce from pillar to post. He wasn't passing by Jericho just by chance or accident. He realized his life was directed by the hand of Almighty God. His life was a journey. Our life's a journey down here. It's nothing by chance and coincidence. No accidents in a child of God's life. God allowed people to pass our lives for a reason. He journeyed. Came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him. When you get compassion, things will change. You do more than just slip him a dollar and justify your conscience because you let him buy him a burger. Or what you thought he did, went and got something to drink. Because some of you just thought, well, I'll feed the poor. It's a good noble deed. They probably need something to eat every once in a while. God leads you to feed them. I'm never going to tell you to do such a thing. God never tell you not to do. But you know what? They need more than a hamburger. Don't think you've done God justice because you gave him something to give him something to drink. Or maybe even handed them the drink in the meal yourself. What they needed was something to save their soul from hell. The Levite could, you know, show a little bit like that. But the Bible said he journeyed and went where he was, had compassion on him. And when the Bible said in verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds. So I had to spend a little time with him to bound his wounds up. You might even have to touch him. But God forbid we'd get the smell on us. Because they stink. We stunk. Poured in oil and wine. He took of his own. You know what our Savior did? He came down as he journeyed 2,000 years ago. There was a purpose in that man dying on the cross. He had compassion and love for us, for God so loved the world he gave. He went to where we was. He's still going to where people are. He's still binding up the wounds. He's still pouring into all of the Holy Ghost. He's still giving up his own for others. Set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. The Bible says, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took 2 pence and gave it to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will pay thee. Compassion. My Bible says in Jude 22, and some have compassion, making a difference. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Where's our compassion? Another example, but I'm going to look at it, but you can look at it yourself. Luke 15:20, the prodigal went out and done his own thing. And the father saw him coming and had compassion. Of some having compassion, making a difference. God's compassionate. How about us? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God is compassionate. Compassionate enough to cover and take away our sins. He showed it by dying for our sins. He came to where we were. Lifted up us out of the mess we was in. And gave us fruit. And gave us enough of the journey. Where's our compassion? You want to make a difference? Starts with compassion. Starts with care. Have you got so much biblical knowledge and been so far in this thing and seen so much and been hurt so many times that you've become hard-hearted? Oh, preacher, but God's a condemning God. Yeah, but He's also a compassionate one. You know what you need to worry about? And I need to worry about? My Bible says, vengeance is the Lord, He shall repay. God's the one that condemns people. Because He's God. Quit trying to be God and condemn people and be what He's left you to be here down here, and that's have compassion on people. A little bit of care. Maybe we need to repent of our hard-heartedness. Get back to telling people about Jesus. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When's the last time you ever really just knelt down and said, God, I'm glad I ain't going to hell? Like the sister's son. God, surely you've been good to me and you've allowed me to do some things. You know, I don't do those things I used to do, but you know what, God? It ain't because of me. It's because of you. If it wasn't for you, Lord, ain't no telling where I'd be today. Ain't no telling what I'd still be doing if it wasn't for you. I just want to say thank you. Everything that I've done, God, it's been good. It's been because of God. It's been because of you. Lost lady, lost man, lost boy, lost girl. God's had compassion on you enough to die for you. You don't have to go to hell. You can be saved. Why not today? Don't turn down the love of God. Don't reject God's compassion. Why not today? Let's get some musicians to come up here if you would. Brother Chris, let's sing something, brother. Whatever God puts on your heart. If you need to pray, you pray. If you need to come, you come. Kneel in your pew, whatever you need to do. Come to the Lord. Nobody loved me like Jesus. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Thank God he did.
401.
401 in your blue handle. You'd stand.